Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Breaking news today, and it's going to shake up, in my opinion, football the way we know it. Sean Payton has allegedly retired from the New Orleans Saints. He had $45 million left on his contract, signed through 2024. And if you think he's not coaching next year, you crazy. Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today, kid?
And there's only one place he would coach.
I don't even know if we're on the same page on this because we've not discussed it, but I agree. There's only one place that Sean Payton is going to go.
On the count of three, we're going to say the team name together. You ready?
One, two, three.
Dallas Cowboys.
That's it. He lives in Dallas. He's got a house in Dallas. That's where he spends, apparently, his offseason, or at least he used to. I think his kids are in Dallas. He's going to the Dallas Cowboys.
Because that's also the place where he can win. I mean, look at every other possible job, every other potential job. The New York Giants, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Miami Dolphins, you name it. They're all programs and organizations that are, they're not there.
Right.
The Dallas Cowboys are there.
Yep.
If it wasn't for one of the most poorly coached games in postseason history, they may still be there. So there's no doubt whether it's this season or next season, because maybe he waits a year. That's what Sean Payton is on.
He's going to the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, my gut is that he's kind of always wanted to be with Dallas, but this is the best time to do it. Because the Dallas Cowboys, as much as we think, you know, like, hey, why would you want to be a Giants coach? Or, you know, other cities may say the same about their opportunity. I think we're in agreement on this. There is no argument whatsoever that the Dallas Cowboys are ready-made to win right
100%.
Now. So as much as the Giants are a project and, you know, the Bears are a project and the Texans are a bigger project, the Miami Dolphins are a project, the Cowboys have it all. They've got the quarterback. They've got the offense. They've got the best defense turnover-wise in the NFL this past year. What do they need? They need a legitimate, top-level coach, they don't currently have.
The one thing,
no-brainer.
I don't think it's going to happen. He does have a connection to the New York Giants. He was the offensive coordinator for this team.
He ain't coming here.
When they were in a Super Bowl in 2000. I'm not saying he's coming here either, but more so than a lot of the other teams that are looking for coaches, you could at least talk yourself into a connection that would lead Sean Payton to say, you know, coaching the New York Giants. With that said, he's under contract. He's owed over $45 million. And so any team that wants Sean Payton to coach their team, they're going to have to give up compensation. Bill Parcellsian compensation. So are you willing to give up compensation even if he wanted the gig?
I mean, listen, you're allowed to retire. Nobody can force you to work, but because he does have a contract, you know, they can also stop you from working somewhere else, which is what Evan's getting to, that if the notion is that Sean Payton is going to coach this upcoming NFL season starting in September, unless Gail Benson decides I'm going to be the nicest human being in the world and in my way of thanking you for your service to the city and franchise for the better part of, 15 years, whatever it is, I'm going to let you go because it's the right thing to do for a person. Highly unlikely because you can let him go and get something in return. But
damn right,
you know, there have been times, I can't give you one off the top of my head, where sometimes, Evan, as much as you have been jaded by the New York air and the New York water and all the crap, sadly, that surrounds us here in our city, sometimes people just do good things for other people because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, you mean serious?
No.
No.
That's never going to happen. I just wanted to hear what it sounded like.
Okay. No. No, you're going to have to give the New Orleans Saints a lot of draft picks.
Yeah, I don't know about a lot, but something.
No, all you've got to do is look at the track record of coaches and compensation. Look it up. Look at the history of coaches and compensation, whether we're talking about Bill Parcells to the New York Jets.
And that's so long ago now, like 20-plus years ago, right?
But there's a track record of what you have to give up, especially for someone as successful as Sean Payton that won a Super Bowl, even though that was a million years ago, and really turned the Saints organization around. And he really did. I mean, you talk about a culture change. We use that word all the time. That culture changed, and it had to do with a quarterback and a head coach.
Yeah.
So if Sean Payton wants to coach, and if Sean Payton wants to coach your team, whether it's the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, or somewhere else, you've got to be willing to pay the piper. And the question is, especially if you're the Giants more so than Dallas, because you're close, are you willing to pay the piper?
Well, the Giants have more draft picks to offer than the Cowboys.
They also have more holes than the Cowboys.
Evan, you don't walk away or announce you're retiring or, in theory, stepping away from $45 million. Unless you know exactly where you're going.
Right.
Now, we know there are cases. You talk about Barry Sanders walked away from money. Megatron walked away from money. Those are outliers. That is not the norm. Very few human beings on this planet are going to walk away from that type of money. I don't believe for a minute that Sean Payton is going to walk away and leave $45 million on the table. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Sean Payton has probably already talked, you know, back channel agents and that kind of stuff with, let's assume it's the Dallas Cowboys, and this will all be figured out. There's no way he's not coaching next year, and there's no way a guy at his age or this stage of his life is walking away from a guaranteed $45 million. Just not, let's keep it real.
I could see him sitting for a year or two.
Why would you?
Because he misses his family.
Nah, I know he doesn't.
I knew you weren't going to buy that.
Let me walk you through that scenario for a second.
Go ahead.
In the history of professional sports, and this is one of those very rare conversations where it's 100-0.
Mm-hmm.
Any person that has ever said, I'm leaving the game because I want to spend more time with my family, has very quickly gone back to the game.
Right.
I'm sorry to say that.
Okay, do you believe that he's going to step away and go television, where he can make a ton of money, as we've seen?
Yeah, that's true, too. Okay.
I think the television thing is an option. I just don't think he's going to coach right away.
Yeah, but
he'll coach again. Like, he'll coach again.
The thing, though, is, if you see, I think the missing piece of this is Jerry Jones.
Right.
Jerry Jones is closing in on 80 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's in decent health for a man his age. I don't know. There's a window, and that window for the Cowboys to win a championship when he can fully enjoy it clearly is closing. We all know how hard it is to win. It's been 25 years since they've won playoff win, right?
Right.
So to me, the part of this conversation that's the wild card is now Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, in my opinion, is not going to sit out or risk another year under Mike McCarthy so that Sean Payton can go to TV for a year, kind of, you know, stretch his arms, get healthy again, get some sleep, and then come back. If this move has anything at all to do with the Dallas Cowboys, it's now. I just don't believe they're going to wait. But I understand what you're saying. He'd have a TV job in a minute.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jerry Jones may want him right now, but if Sean Payton wants to step away for a year and two, he may not have a choice. They may not be able to convince him with a huge contract to have him coach Dallas. I mean, the guy's been coaching every year. I know he didn't coach in 2012 because of the suspension. But then again, according to that movie, he was coaching his kids. So he was coaching that year. This is a guy who's been in NFL coaching for 30 years, 25
long
years.
Long time, yeah. His whole adult life.
So I could understand a year or two. And he's young enough where he can come back and coach in 2 years.
Yeah, but if the Cowboys are a part of this, and I believe they are, then this is a now decision. This isn't, all right, listen, go enjoy yourself for a year and come save us a year from now. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, obviously. I don't believe that's the case. I don't. These guys, like when you're a coach, that's all you do. You coach.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Right?
I want to
spend more time with my family. Your family sucks.
And Sean Payton had a taste of that a decade ago when he was suspended.
Yeah.
He had a year to see what it would be like.
Right. It was so unique, they made a movie about it.
I know.
Yeah. And oh, we're going to give you a present. You're the great.
You know what's crazy?
Sean Payton loves his kids more than you do. He coached them in flag football.
Stop. He may get paid more money doing TV than coaching. When you think about what Tony Romo, how much does Tony Romo make on TV?
Oh, he's the highest. He gets $17 million.
Okay, $17 million. What does Troy Aikman make?
Troy Aikman's making less.
Okay.
But still close to 10.
In that range.
Yeah.
Sean Payton can demand that. Don't you think Sean Payton
Well, you get the Drew Brees deal, I guess, right?
And Drew Brees
is terrible at it.
I know.
I hate to say that. Seems like a nice enough guy, but he's horrendous.
He's off to a rough start.
Ugh. Anyway, yeah, you're right. He'd get $10 million a year.
So, I mean, if you're Sean Payton with much less stress.
There's no stress.
No stress.
Unless you go on Twitter.
Right.
I mean, if you didn't go on Twitter, there's no stress at all.
But do you think Drew Brees cares about what people on Twitter say about his broadcast?
Yeah, he has to.
Come on.
Yeah.
He don't care.
I think, how could you not? At some point, you have to recognize, wow, they're burying me. why do I want this? Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and they basically gave Drew Brees the job without even trying him out.
It makes no sense. Even right now with Sean Payton. Like, all these networks are supposedly lining up to make an offer to Sean Payton. What is it based on? What has he done broadcasting-wise
that
you think he's going to be any good at it?
He's a winner and he's got a decent personality. I guess that's what it is. Here's the funniest thing about all of it.
Yep.
Not a single person is going to watch it because he's on TV. And that's the thing these networks always get wrong, in my opinion. Like, nobody watches these shows because of the guys that are on it.
So you don't think that Green Bay San Francisco on Saturday night got a monster rating because of who was broadcasting?
No, I don't.
You don't think it was Joe Buck?
No, and I like Joe Buck a lot. I told you I picked Joe of Ryan for that one particular call.
Right.
No, I think if Kevin Burkhardt was doing the game with whatever Botchagaloop former player he works with, Greg Olson, I think they would have gotten the same exact number. That's the thing. Like, these guys overvalue themselves,
right,
and the networks just keep writing the checks.
Right.
So good for them.
Right. You're right.
I mean, I have no problem with it. I mean, I wish they did that in radio.
Right.
Just write a bigger check. You can't live without me. Right? That's what we would say anyway.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Coming up, Major League Baseball has moved a big step closer to resolving their differences with the players' union.
That's not true.
No. I'm reading right here.
That's not true.
Big step forward.
I don't care who wrote that. It's not true.
It says it right here.
Who said it?
Like, I don't pull those words out of my ass.
They got a lot of work to do, but who said it so I can disagree with them instead of you?
It says Major League Baseball.
Who's they? Who wrote that?
Some guy named G.R.K. Notrack.
Okay. Well, I don't agree with G.R. or Notrack, so I apologize for attacking you.
He is a confirmed MLB writer.
I don't give a damn who it is.
G.R.K. Notrack.
They're still far away. They're talking, and that's great. But I don't agree with that sentence. I'm sorry.
So all of a sudden, there's this guy that's his only job.
Yeah.
And you're just going to minimize what the guy does for a living when he's on the inside.
No, I'm disagreeing.
And you have
with,
no idea.
Really? What did the players say about the meeting today?
I don't know.
Oh, do you want me to tell you? Well, I'm Evan Roberts. You want me to tell you what they said?
What did they say?
It was laughable.
Is that right?
Yeah. So again, tell me what Gio Artrack said, because I care.
Not Rack. I just said give the guy, let's get his name right.
Okay.
That's such a weird name, G.R.K.
I have nothing against G.R.K. I disagree
with
his sentiment.
What kind of name is that anyway? G.R.K.
And since when do you form your opinions based on everything you read?
Well,
form your own opinion.
For me, he's better than Passan. So I follow this guy.
Yeah, Passan's good.
Passan's great. Passan's great. G.R.K. Notrack is, I guess, the new guy.
How do you phrase it again? I want to hear this again. Maybe I'll give it a second thought.
Major League Baseball owners and the players' union took a major step forward today in their negotiations.
I don't agree with it. I understand why you could say it because they're talking and there were some minor concessions made, but they got a lot of work to do. So I disagree with the sentence.
I don't think he said they don't still have a lot of work to do.
They made major progress.
They raised the minimum wage.
Come on!
Up to like 700 grand a guy.
Dude, they are... Did you see the difference between the players?
Cody Decker would actually wear pants.
Good for Cody.
If he could make that kind of money.
Did you see the difference in money in terms of the arbitration-eligible players in their first few years using the top 20 war? Okay.
Top 30.
Top 30 war. The players said, we want that pool to be 100 million. Okay, 100 million. Do you know what the owner's answer was?
So, I don't know. $100 million in a pool for a certain
for the top 30 WAR players arbitration.
Okay. So they wanted $100 million
set aside. So the pool would be $100 million. That's what the players asked for.
Yeah.
Do you know what the owner said?
$45 million.
$10 million.
That's not a good.
Is that major?
It's negotiation.
It's called negotiation.
Oh, really, Craig? Is that major progress in your mind?
Well, where is it now?
They're creating it.
Oh. It's zero.
So
it's
so
something new the players want.
It's a new thing.
So the owners went from zero to $10 million.
Oh, stop.
Good start. Good start.
Major progress.
And did Gio Artrack talk about the fact that you haven't even discussed luxury tax yet?
I just, to be fair to this guy, who's apparently a young up-and-coming baseball reporter.
I have no issue with
him.
G-Arc.
Notrack.
Okay, G-R Notrack.
No, you haven't read Notrack?
G-Arc.
G-Arc.
Notrack.
Notrack.
Rack.
I have a feeling you're trying to make me say something funny.
No, I'm really not.
Is this a game to you, Craig?
He's an up-and-coming baseball guy. I don't know.
Have they talked about the luxury tax threshold yet, Craig?
You want to book the guys again?
No. But my point is, I'm paying attention to this. I care because I want baseball to come back. I'm glad they're talking. I am. I'm happy.
And by the way, $10 million is $10 million more than zero.
Okay. All right.
Right.
I'm glad they're having conversations. So from that standpoint, that's a positive sign. They are still far away.
I think they met twice this week. So that's good.
That's great.
Like, they're not in a standoff. Like, go F yourself.
Well, did you hear what the owners told the players yesterday in the meeting?
No.
We're prepared to miss games. They said that.
Because that's the leverage they have. They got the bag.
Did players say that?
But I'm saying the owners always have that bag.
Nine. Well, they're locking them out.
Right. Yeah. That bag, the financial bag, the players are always hurt more by financial, by missing games than the owners. Because the owners are rich. Right? Hey, do me a favor, Tom. If not today, tomorrow. Even though I don't like booking a lot of guests and I hate booking reporters. Will you get G-Arc Notrack on the line? He seems to be the only baseball writer, other than Passan, who knows what the hell's going on.
What does he work for?
What, Evan? The Athletic.
Oh, he's the Athletic?
I guess.
Evan Drellick does it for the Athletic.
I guess he's a new guy. They just got bought out by the Times.
How do you spell this guy's name? I'll follow him on Twitter.
G-I-A-R-C.
What?
G-Arc, that's his
name. Wait, how do you say it again?
G-Arc? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Wait,
I
how
think
do you spell it?
G-I-A-R-C.
Okay, and then what's the last
Not
name?
Rack.
Notrack.
Yeah.
R-A-C. What?
That's all. He works for The Athletic. I guess he was a New York Times writer, and now he's with The Athletic. Got to give the guy.
I can't find him on Twitter.
Because he's new.
Yeah. What's his Twitter handle?
Yeah.
So. I feel like you're pulling my chain right now.
The guy is a young, up-and-coming writer for The Athletic,
okay.
Who I guess used to cover some kind of news for the Times.
He's a real human?
He's a real human being.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
Still can't find him.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't work for ESPN or Fox or
I'm searching the internet for him.
Yeah. So there you go.
G-Arc.
By the way, I apologize to everybody for saying sugar. I know that bothered a lot of you. I'm sorry. I figured by 5 o'clock.
I warned him. Everybody listening,
all good on that.
I defended you. I said, Craig, you shouldn't have done that. We can give out TV spoilers too while you're at it.
Today's word was proxy. Okay, there you go. Figure it out.
It wasn't proxy. Oh, yes, yes, it was. That was some word, Craig. Have they used an X word yet?
Didn't they use proxy the other day?
Oh, they did. I missed that one.
Didn't they? Yesterday was a really tough.
No, proxy
word
was an answer.
Yeah, like a couple days ago,
wasn't
it?
2 days ago, yeah.
I must have missed it.
I don't think I got yesterday's, though. What was yesterday's?
Oh, you didn't? I saw you give up.
Yeah.
What was yesterday?
I got it on
Knoll.
Knoll, that's
I didn't get that.
Sixth try I got it. I pulled that one too out of my derriere.
I did. I got stumped yesterday. I did not get Knoll. Sorry.
Oh, by the way, you know what's happening soon?
A break?
A break?
Go
ahead.
You know what's happening?
No.
Half hour away. Hall of Fame announcement.
Oh. Why don't we get G-Arc Notrack on the air, see if he knows who's getting into the Hall of Fame. Maybe he's got some insight. I don't know. Is that possible? Anyway, check him out. He's a good young reporter The Athletic
I'll
now.
Check him out.
And I know you're a fan of The Athletic.
I love The Athletic.
So I think that you would have known heard of the guy, but I guess not.
I have not heard of him.
I guess
offense.
He just started, so anyway. And again, I am sorry if you were going to play Wordle when you got home. Like it's an event now.
So are you apologizing or not?
I did apologize.
No,
yes.
You didn't. You did a half-assed apology.
No, I am so sorry that I ruined Wordle for some of you today. Yeah, it pains me that I've cost you 5 minutes of your life in the bathroom that you now have to talk to your wife.
It's Carton and Roberts on the Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Sean Burstyn. Sean is the attorney for Antonio Brown. He's part of this Real Sports situation tonight on HBO. Just full disclosure, part of tonight's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel is a long feature on sports gambling that I was asked to be a part of that I declined to be a part of. And I just bring it up because I know people have reached out to me saying, you know, that's scheduled for tonight, the Antonio Brown stuff. I don't know what it's kicking off the show, but that is scheduled for tonight. In any event, Sean joins us now. Sean, it's Craig Carton and Evan Roberts in New York City. Thank you for the time today. How are you?
Good, Craig. Thanks very much for having us. I'm happy to talk about what happened to Antonio, what the Bucs did to him, and provide some context, because I think a lot of it got missed in the knee-jerk reaction.
That's fair. So let me ask, based on the clips that we've seen, which is all I have to go by, you guys referenced that on two different occasions, Tampa Bay's general manager sent Antonio some type of letter in which the claim is that they wanted him to go to an inpatient mental health facility and were willing to give him $200,000 to do that. Is that accurate?
It wasn't a letter. It was actually kind of hastily put together. I think they were in damage control mode. They were texting us that this was a mental health issue, and in the same text chain, they actually acknowledge that what happened was Bruce Arians told Antonio to get off because his ankle was hurt. And you'll see more in the show, but right. What they've already put out is Antonio's revelation that they were on the phone with us multiple times and said that this was a mental health story. It was actually a physical health story. And the premise was you can, collect your checks, but you've got to sit on the bench and go get, some undescribed form of mental health treatment when this had nothing, whatever you want to believe.
So let me just stop you there. So it wasn't that, because it's very important that we make sure this is clear. You and Antonio are not suggesting they were offering him some payment to go to a mental health facility of some kind. They were willing to continue to pay him his salary and go to a mental health facility, correct?
I think you just said the same thing, right? They conditioned his right to be on that team. He had done nothing. He'd been thrown off the field,
right?
And they conditioned his contract right on getting mental health treatment and not spinning what was actually the truth, which was that they fired him because he wasn't willing to play while injured.
So before he was thrown off the field, wasn't he, because this is a report that came out from that game, wasn't he complaining that he wasn't getting enough targets? Didn't that happen at halftime where he was screaming and yelling and teammates had to calm him down?
Yeah, Bruce Arians put that out. Bruce Arians also said that.
So that's not true.
What's not true?
He wasn't complaining and screaming and yelling at halftime that he wasn't being targeted enough?
I don't believe that that's accurate, that the characterizations of that are accurate, right? I wasn't in there. I don't have tapes. Antonio mm-hmm. said to me that what he was complaining about was exactly what the GM texted us, saying Antonio was complaining about the ankle. And then Bruce Arians says the opposite and starts saying, no, he was complaining about not getting enough targets. So we have text messages from the GM saying he spoke to Arians that night, and Aaron said it was about the ankle. And then once that, we started indicating, hey, guys, if you don't stop spinning this and saying it's a mental health story, we might just start telling the truth. Then they doubled down and said it was about target. So it's a total red herring, inconsistent with the text messages that they sent us. And
so,
further, I don't really think I don't really see.
Yeah. And they were talking to Sean Burstyn, who's Antonio Brown's a lawyer and comes from one of the most reputable firms in the world, Skadden Arps. So I certainly respect your background as a lawyer in this regard. That's easily proved or disproved. Like, there'll be 52 other guys in the locker room that'll tell you he did this or he did that. So I'm going to put that to the side because that'll come out when if this gets to that level where the other players in the locker room will say that it happened this way or that way. And then for me, that part of the case will go away. But Brian Gumbel asked him a question that was interesting to me, and that is, a number of people, not just this particular situation in Tampa, think that Antonio needs some type of professional help when it comes to a serious problem that people have, which is mental illness. You guys disagree with that? You guys say that's BS, or what's the stance on that?
You know, I think Antonio Brown is all for the positivity and love people were showing him. The concern is that it was totally misplaced, misdirected, and engineered by the team as a cover-up for firing the guy because he had an ankle injury. So the issue is, the more we talk about, people started talking again about Antonio Brown's mental health after the team told us that it was a mental health issue and we shouldn't counter their narrative. So the issue is, it's very nice, but it's also condescending, and it's a disservice when people actually do suffer mental health issues for them to now be misusing it when it had nothing to do with mental
health.
But you understand
why football fans feel,
and it was a, well, I
you understand why football fans look at him from afar and actually worry about him based on actions from the past, whether it was with the Raiders, whether how quickly things ended with the Patriots, whether it's him releasing text messages that he did from Bruce Arians and Alex Guerrero. Like, from afar, I think fans look at him and say, wow, I think he's got mental health issues. You worry about him. Like, can you see why that perspective is out there?
I will, as a good lawyer, I will answer your question with another question.
Okay.
Yes. Would those fans jump to CTE and to mental health if the Bucks just came clean?
I think they would.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why, because, and I say this as a guy who's dealt with it, so I have maybe a greater sensitivity than a lot of people do to mental health issues. You know, it's... You know, Antonio Brown's, you know, obviously we all know he's been in a lot of trouble. He's done some really dumb and bad things over the course of the last 5 or 6 years that aren't up for debate. And I think that there becomes a track record of behavior that isn't normal, where people then question, hey, is there something going on? And they don't mean it in an offensive manner. They mean it because there are people, I'm sure you've met them and talked to some of them, that truly care about him, that think that there's something going on that might be out of his control. So I don't think
Hey, that's fine and fair. I mean, I disagree with some of your characterization, but that's why I said all the love and positivity and concern, that's all well received. The concern on our side is when it's amplified by people saying that I have no idea what happened and he needs mental health help. It was engineered, it was premeditated.
But Sean, he ripped off his clothes and ran off the field. Like, that happened.
Because he was told to get the
come on, he's not 9 years old.
He was,
like, yes, is that a rational reaction to being fired?
He wasn't fired. He was told, if you don't play through a debilitating injury that precludes him from playing in the manner that he's expected to play, and if you don't play while causing yourself further harm, then get the F out of here. You're off the team. And he says, then I'm not wearing your logo anymore. I don't know. I mean, I've never, fortunately, been fired from a job, but
right.
I've certainly never been asked to work through physical pain by a team that shoots me up with painkillers.
Well,
so,
unfortunately, that's the NFL. That's not unique to him, though. Toradol's on every sideline of every football game in America.
You know, also, with all due respect,
usually they don't go further, and when the Toradol wears off, they keep hurting yourself or get the F out of here. So you say he's not a 9-year-old. They shouldn't treat him like a kid. Antonio takes tough hits. And when he says, I can't keep staying out there because I'm really suffering. And I'm really
the problem is, I just don't think he has a lot of credibility. I mean, based on his history, based on what we've seen in the past, based on a fake vaccine card that he used, based on what happened with the Raiders, based on his ending in Pittsburgh, based on all of that, like, if everything you're saying is true, I have compassion for him. I feel bad. I just don't believe it. I don't know how you believe him. I mean, somehow you do. I don't.
Well, it certainly helps that I'm sitting on text messages from the general manager saying that he asked Bruce Arians, and Bruce Arians said Antonio was complaining about his ankle. So I know you haven't seen those,
right.
But I've got them, and you know, all in due time.
So
and
what's the spin
about Target? I mean, I don't know that. First of all, I don't know that any wide receiver has ever not complained about getting enough targets. I mean, that's literally their job. B, it it's unrelated, right, to the cause of throwing him off the field, which they they say was he complained about his ankle. So
but it would contradict the story if Antonio Brown at halftime is saying, target me more, target me more, target me more. And then it's like, man, I shouldn't have played. I was too hurt. Doesn't that contradict that whole story if that really happened?
No, I don't think it does at all, because a guy who's upset about getting more targets stays in the field. I want the ball more, therefore I'm not going to play any more football. I mean, that's the narrative that they've got to put up with. And second, if the guy, just to play devil's advocate, just to hear you out, you're on the other side of this, and I'm happy to have an open conversation with you and answer tough questions. It's all fair game, okay? Both stories could be true, right? Antonio could be suffering through pain and say, I'm not even contributing. I can't play safely. I can't play 100%, and I'm not getting the ball, and I'm doing further damage to my ankle. I need to sit a couple plays. One doesn't contradict the other.
No, it doesn't. They can be mutually exclusive. I think Evan's right, though. It's highly unlikely that a guy is going to be complaining to get the ball more and then all of a sudden claim I couldn't play because of an injury. So for me, I mean, obviously he hired you. You're not.
I don't get that point. Respectfully, I don't get. I think a guy who's out there suffering, texting his coach days before the game about his ankle injury, saying I will do my best for the team.
Yeah.
Just to play devil's advocate, could say, I'm not producing anything for the team, and I'm suffering.
Well,
I'm
like I said, I think that's the easiest part. To me, that's the easiest part of all this, because there's going to be 52 guys and 10 other adults in the room that'll testify if it gets out of exactly what they heard or didn't hear. So that to me is not even the issue.
It also happens to be immaterial. It also happens to be immaterial.
But immaterial, because... what? So what's the end goal? I'm trying to figure out. You know, what goal is?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think you know, you saw Bruce Arians a week or two ago slap a player on the head, and I'm not saying that player was physically injured, but I am saying, right, you said, is that the way to react, right? Is that the way your employer should be treating you?
Of course not.
So let's go now to Antonio Brown, who you may think is a less sympathetic person. Right, I defend pro bono or prosecute a prison's pro bono on behalf of inmates sometimes, and I don't think of them as being any less deserving of physical safety. So let's go to Antonio Brown, who you may think is an unsympathetic person, and ask yourself, is this a big story that they threw out a guy who a tough player who wasn't willing to play through an injury? I think it is. I think there's cause for reform. He has rights under the collective bargaining agreement that we're reviewing and intend to pursue. And another aspect of this is the cover-up, is the mental health cover-up, and spinning this as, you know, the guy's not willing to play football. And that's not true, and that's not what happens. And
so when it comes down to it, though, it's not like he, you know, it's a privilege to play. It's not a right to play, for sure. And we're talking about towards the end of the season now. So if they paid him for the last 2 weeks of the regular season, what damages have been done to Antonio Brown?
You'll see that 10 p.m., Brian Gumbel, HBO.
Oh, you're promoting HBO now?
I assume the end game
here is that Antonio Brown is going to say he wants to continue his career, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' actions have now damaged his ability to get a job.
Are you looking for a job at a law firm in Miami?
Well, yeah. The good
news is Lamar Jackson responded to an Instagram post, like, all excited about Antonio Brown possibly coming to Baltimore. So it sounds like he may be able to get another job. So Bruce Arians didn't do too much damage then to him, that someone will employ him next year because he's still good at football.
If I could convert every time someone tagged me on Instagram into a $20 million contract, I'd be doing all right.
Let me ask you this.
So let's see. You know, if you want to put the guarantee on that deal, I'll take it.
You're in a different spot because you're paid to represent Antonio for his best interests, and I respect that. That being said, you know, there's a lot of times lawyers will advise their clients that the best thing for you to do is zip your lip and just, you know, lay low. You know, the more attention you bring toward yourself in this moment in time is not necessarily a good thing, whether you think your client's right or wrong. And I wonder if you feel that way, that after this HBO thing, the best thing for Antonio is to just disappear for a couple months.
Oh, well, that's not Antonio. Antonio is a, you know, he's a guy, he's out there, right? He's an interesting guy. He's a great guy to be around. And on this, on some of the, you know, the press that he has done, you know, we talk and he says, Sean, I don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to tell the truth. You know, obviously if it's a criminal defense case, your lawyers treat that very differently. But Antonio was maligned in the press. I'm not saying by bad actors in the press, but the press did put out, the messaging that the Bucks put out there. And Antonio doesn't really have anyone other than Antonio Brown to counter that narrative. So I respect, appreciate, and support him. But Antonio Brown is his best advocate on what happened January 2nd at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's the reason I asked our producers to put you on today, because I only, and Evan and I, only have one side of it. We only have what's being put out there. We're not investigative reporters. I'm not inside the Tampa Bay locker room, nor was I, you know, at MetLife Stadium. So I've been trying to figure out what the other side of it is. I think we have it figured out. But like I said, you know, that either he'll be proven to be telling the truth and the truth will set you free, or to be, we'll see that he was lying about it. And then, you know, everyone can make the decision based on that. My final question for you is, did you talk to him about what it was like sitting in that room with Floyd Mayweather, Madonna, Kanye West, and Kanye's girlfriend listening to that rap song? Because I'm mesmerized by that video.
I'm going to ask you one question.
Yes.
But I'm going to give you the answer. Let me ask you a question, though. The answer, I said, AB, what was that like? He said, booming. So that's basically it. Look, Antonio really, really appreciates that there are people who've you know, come out and shown him some love and heard, and we appreciate you know, taking the time to let Antonio's voice get out there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, the bell's been rung and it's really hard to unring that bell. But I'm going to ask you something on this.
Yeah.
And I think it's immaterial whether one of the best wide receivers out there said, I want the ball more. I don't really see that as being, you know, a cover story of on the New York Times.
Go ahead. What's the question?
Here's the question. If you were to see, I'm not offering to give them to you, but if you were to see in black and white text messages, Bruce Arians and the GM saying Antonio complained about his ankle and then he was cut. And that's when Bruce Arians said, get the F off the field. And what precipitated that was, coach, I can't go in, my ankle hurts. How would you feel about the story?
I think if you showed it to me and I saw it my own two eyes and, you know, it all matched up that he complained about the ankle, told the coach, I can't go, the ankle's busted, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, get off the field because you can't go in that regard. I would feel differently about it. I wouldn't, you know, obviously condone taking your shirt off and all that crap, but I would feel differently about the story, yes.
I'll ask you and your listeners to keep an open mind. This is going to take a while for everything to come out to light.
Let me ask you this. And I apologize for saying the last one was the last question, but I do like the fact that just as a normal guy, you had to ask him what it was like in that room with Madonna and Kanye. I appreciate your honesty on that. You know, NFL.
Well, yeah. It wasn't, Antonio's got a lot of interesting stuff going on.
No doubt. I mean, Madonna. And,
well, you know.
All right, so here's the question.
Foremost, I'm going to tell. I'll leave you with something.
Before you do that, it's an important question. I think the NFL over the last 15 years has dealt with the reality that players do have CTE and do have, you know, situations with their brains. It's a real thing. At any point in your discussions with Antonio, has he expressed a concern about, you know, all the hits he's taken in his lifetime and the possible impact it may have had on him?
The answer to that specific question is no, but I Antonio acknowledges, you know, he's under immense pressure, immense scrutiny, you know, because of who he is. And this last episode with how the Bucks handled him, really only adds to that. People did jump to CTE. You know, to the extent your listeners are not doctors, you know, they can't be diagnosing them. And to the extent any of your listeners are doctors, then they'll know you can't diagnose that except through an autopsy after someone passes away. But the question about does Antonio have CTE because of all these hard hits actually is relevant for one really important reason. The guy takes so many hard hits that you know when he says, "Coach, I can't play right now because I'm hurt," you know he's legit. He's not a softie.
Well, we'll watch it tonight, and we'll certainly bring you back on if it warrants it. I interrupted you there. I apologize after the Madonna thing. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that Antonio was traveling around a bit, doing some work, and I'll just say, you know, he came back shortly after that, even though he had his hands obviously full with everything he was doing after the game. You know, he did come back home to Tampa and said, "Sean, you know, I miss my kids. I want to get back to my kids." He's a proud father of six kids. You know, yesterday was back with his kids, drove him to school, and there's just so many sides of Antonio that people don't see, and I'm privileged to see him. Great, funny, cool guy. Really, really dedicated father. In due time, right, everything will come out, and I think a lot on Antonio has come out, and you know, the full story is going to get out there, and people can judge for themselves.
Well, as it plays itself out, you know, bring you back on, and of course, at any point you want to make him available, we'd certainly talk to him as well. I appreciate you coming on short notice, and we'll check it out on HBO tonight. Thank you for the time, Sean.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
The Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball. Are you ready?
Are we ready?
Dun, 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 dun,
who's
dun,
getting
dun,
in?
Dun, 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 dun,
I'm excited. I'm dun, like a kid dun, dun, on opening day. I love this stuff. Then I'm going to get angry.
Only one new member.
There's only one.
I was right.
New member.
I nailed it. It's Ortiz.
Damn it. There's only one new member.
Yeah, it's Poppy.
Of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Freaking Bonds and Clemens didn't do it. 10 years on the ballot, and they could not get in.
Well, I mean, listen, David Ortiz failed the test.
I know.
I guess they don't care so much
anymore. Think about that. Barry Bonds, who used the freaking cream late in his career,
never failed the test.
Held out for a decade. And David Ortiz, who did fail a test, there are questions about this test, but it was anonymous testing. He gets in on the first ballot.
It's
but
official.
No to Roger Clemens and no to Barry Bonds. Baseball writers should be ashamed of yourselves.
Well, it is official. David Ortiz is a Hall of Famer. Barry Bonds is not a Hall of Famer.
And it's over. He's off the ballot,
Craig. Roger Clemens, not a Hall of Famer.
And how did Schilling do? How did Kurt Schilling?
Well, now they have to release all that.
Kurt Schilling got 71% of the vote last year. He was, 17 votes away from being a Hall of Famer?
16, but okay.
16, whatever it was. He's going to fall off by a lot. And so here's David Ortiz in the Hall of Fame, has failed a drug test.
Yep.
Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, nope.
Seems like it's not consistent at all, right?
It's a joke.
Yeah, he got 77.2% of the vote. Wow. He barely got in.
Yeah, 75
He got in only by a couple of votes.
It doesn't matter. He got in.
He's in.
On the first ballot. Hey, wait, hold on. Vladimir Guerrero didn't get in on the first ballot.
No,
right?
He did not.
And he did nothing wrong. No cheating, nothing. Okay.
And he was a right-handed hitter with over 300, which you can count about a handful since World War II.
He also choked in the playoffs, but that's a different story.
All right, so you guys are upset by this.
I'm not upset about Ortiz. I'll let you go in a second. I'm not upset about Ortiz as much. I'm upset about Bonds and Clemens. That's what I'm upset about. But go ahead.
No, I'm with you.
I fan you.
Ortiz, I hate him, but he's a Hall of Famer. I think it's ridiculous who they pick and choose who they're going to put in the Hall of Fame. He's got a connection to steroids. They made Piazza wait on rumors. This guy's got a failed test and he's in on the first ballot. It makes no sense.
Think about that. How does that even work? Like, we have been so careful with steroid users for all these years to the point where they still wouldn't put Bonds and Clemens in.
I can tell you how you get in.
But this guy gets in when he failed a test.
You know why?
Why?
Because that one day at Fenway Park, with the American flag in the outfield and a sold-out crowd.
You think it's that?
Yep.
I think it's more than that.
I think for whoever had to be convinced that pushed him over the edge, that one day at Fenway Park where he cursed. And he said basically, the terrorism speech, the whole thing.
Right. No, which was great, by the way.
I think that's what got him over the hump. I think He became a very likable guy that did everybody.
I get why David Ortiz is likable to others. I get that the media loves him. And I do think he's a Hall of Famer. I want to make that clear.
A-Rod got 34.3% of the vote.
But think about this. You are keeping other rumored steroid guys completely out. Because Mike Piazza had to. How many years did Mike Piazza wait again? I forgot.
At least three or four.
Okay. What was that based on? Craig back acne?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Was there not more evidence of David Ortiz doing something than Mike Piazza? He failed a test.
Yeah, he did fail a test. That's right. So I was trying to see what the percentage was for Bonds and Clemens. I missed it. But I saw the A-Rod number. You were right. A-Rod was in the 30s.
Yeah, he's not even close. He's never getting in.
So he's not even close.
Listen, man. All right, I got the numbers. Here we go.
Hang on.
Barry Bonds is at 66%.
So it's saying
he wasn't even close.
Not even close.
He wasn't even
close. Clemens was 65.
Roger was at 62.5.
65.2.
Yep. I apologize. And Curt Schilling. Listen to this. This is another disgrace. I don't want to hear about his politics. Who gives a rat's ass about his dopey politics? Curt Schilling was at 70% last year. He was this close to the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling fell to 58.6%. How? Craig, how is that possible when we're talking about a pitcher,
politics.
A baseball player?
Politics.
I don't, and I know, but you got to see his tweets, Evan. They're so repulsive. Why does that matter?
It shouldn't.
We're talking about baseball history, and if a guy belongs in a museum as a great baseball player, not as a politician, not about what he thinks about COVID or Trump or Biden, I could not give a rat's ass less what he thinks about his politics. But writers did, and that's a reason for him to drop 13% in the voting?
Hey, look, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds barely got more votes than Scott Rowland.
Scott Rowland got more than Curt Schilling.
I mean, that's all you need to know about how the voting went.
Yeah.
It's a popularity contest, and David Ortiz got in because of one speech on the field at Fenway Park. Not to say that his numbers don't earn it.
He can't
say
that.
He failed the test.
Yeah, well, no, he's held to a different steroid standard than everybody else.
Yep.
And here's a guy who failed a test. Anonymous or not, questions about it or not. What are the questions about Mike Piazza that kept him out for a few years? What were they?
Back acne.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Is that more evidence than David Ortiz failing an anonymous drug test, which certainly has a lot of questions?
Right. And Ortiz barely got it. I'm telling you, those last couple votes were because of the Fenway Park thing. And you know what? Good for him. He's in the Hall of Fame. That's it. He's an immortal legend now. David Ortiz in the Hall of Fame.
Look, he was always an immortal legend, and he's an all-time great, and blah, 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 blah. By the way, does it make you laugh that guys like me get so bothered by this?
Does it make me laugh?
Yeah, because I know you don't care.
622? Yeah.
You don't care, though, right?
Do I care who gets in the Hall of Fame? I could not care one bit.
No, I respect that you don't care, but...
Does not matter to me one little bit.
You see a guy like me, a guy like Big Mac, a lot of people out there, we care.
I don't need a bunch of stodgy, old, middle-aged white writers telling me who the greatest players I ever saw play were. And Barry Bonds is one of the greatest players I've ever seen play.
Barry Bonds is the greatest baseball player I've ever seen.
I don't need them to validate what I saw. So I don't care who gets it. Doesn't mean one little thing.
Going to that museum is special. Do you know what my Twitter avatar is, by the way?
Is it the Cooperstown plaque?
You haven't picked up on that?
No. You think I look?
It's a picture. I think this is so geeky, but whatever.
What's it your membership card?
No, it's a picture of me at the Hall of Fame with my hand pressed against the plaque of Robin Roberts, great Philadelphia pitcher.
Yeah.
Do you know the meaning behind that?
Were you related to him?
Robin Roberts' middle name is Evan. Oh. So I'm leaning against the Robin part.
So it's Evan Roberts.
It's Evan Roberts.
Yeah, well, that's very complicated.
That's the Hall of Fame, baby. Yeah. My favorite museum that they have completely screwed up with over the last decade by keeping all-time greats out like Barry Bonds.
Yeah, Andy Pettit got 10.7% of the vote, so he'll never get in. Anyone else of note? Sammy Sosa got 18.5%. Ryan,
Todd
Helton, this?
Todd Helton, 52.
Ryan Howard's off the ballot, got less than 5%. Tim Hudson, Tim Lincecum, Mark Teixeira, Justin Morneau, Papelbon, Prince Fielder,
AJ
all off
Pierzynski,
the ballot.
Carl Crawford, yeah.
Yeah, peace out. I mean, no one ever thought of them as Hall of Famers anyway.
No, I mean, as a Yankee fan, probably a little biased. I think Mark Teixeira deserved better than 5%.
No, he's actually right. Not that Teixeira is a Hall of Famer.
I mean, I'm not going to argue because he's not a Hall of Famer. What's the difference? I think he's worth more than 5%.
And by the way,
5%.
I'll throw another one at you. I think Ryan Howard needs to be there for a few more years.
Well, you look at some of his early, you know.
I know that we're commenting on
He hit home run numbers. He's still on top of a lot of lists. Youngest guy to hit 150 home runs, 200 home runs. He had a monster start.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, as much as I think Teixeira and Howard should get a few more years, they're not Hall of Famers.
No, it doesn't matter.
Look, Andy Pettit's not a Hall of Famer. Right. We all know that. I think what we're seeing trend-wise is I think Billy Wagner may get in at some point, and I think Scott Rolen may get in.
That's a crying shame if he gets in, especially for me as his backup. For all those years in Philadelphia, I got to tell you, Scott Rolen at no point was ever thought of as the best third baseman in baseball.
Do you know why Scott Rolen's getting serious consideration and why he will eventually get in?
Go.
Because a lot of the defensive metrics and other metrics that you look at really show Scott Rolen's value. And I think he was a great defensive player, but here's the part that, keeps Scott Rolen out. He didn't play enough. The guy was always hurt. The guy always had something keeping him out.
Plus, he's douchey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.